Welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Thursday, April 10th, 2014. This is Sally Baptist speaking. Thank you for tuning in tonight. This is this week's edition of Smart Talk Election 2014 with our host Sherry Smart and Neil Rice. We have a call-in number is 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to go in the host queue and speak on the air. And you can also go into the chat room and post your questions and comments in there. Tonight we have a really special show coming up. We've got two really special guests that are both the true meaning of American patriots. They are both fighting for property rights. And, you know, as we get into this discussion, we have to appreciate what property rights really means in a free society, because when it comes to having any type of liberty without property rights, you can't have it. You think about what communism is, and I think when we talk about the issues tonight, we have to truly appreciate how it relates to communism, what communism really means. And when you have everything owned in common, which means the federal government owns everything, or the state owns everything, you have no rights. Everything is owned in common. You have no individual rights. This is what is happening to our society these days. We have to appreciate the fact that communism is here in America, and it's taken over, and we have to be prepared to defend our rights if otherwise we're not going to be here. It was Washington who said, without vigilance, we have tyranny. And that's the truth. Without vigilance, we have tyranny. And that's the vigilance of the people to protect themselves against an out-of-control government. The federal government has gone way over its bounds on what they're doing. And as we're going to be talking here, the two guests, we have Clive and Bundy and Phyllis Fry. Clive and Bundy is going to be joining us here in the beginning. And this is the rancher in Nevada, that you may have heard about, where literally the federal government, the Bureau of Land Management, is coming in and taking his cattle and seizing the land. The state rights are gone. This includes the state rights, too. Again, we have to appreciate what this really means in terms of communism. Americans need to wake up and see what's happening to our country. And without vigilance, without the vigilance of the American people, like what Clive and Bundy is doing, we have no rights, and the federal government will take over everything. The federal government has no need to own all this massive land, and we know it's all about control and power. It's all for the wrong reasons of what they're doing this. It's just terrible. And then Phyllis Fry is going to be talking about the property rights with the 750 plan here in Florida, which is another takeover of private property rights. It's just we have to accept what's going on in our country, and we have and accept that it's happening, but not accept it. And we have to start standing up and defending our rights. It's really just that simple. So that is my rant for the show here. On that note, I'm going to – sorry, I got to do something, you know. What can I say? Well, and I guess
no
one
problem.
Other thing
no. – Well, you know, Sally, let me say something on this property rights. I mean, you're dead on, you're right on. But besides just fighting for our property rights in this country, which we never could imagine would have ever happened, we're not just fighting for that. We're fighting for our lives now.
Yeah.
Because if you don't happen to agree, our government sends people with helicopters, heavy equipment after you, the heaviest artillery that they can use. So we're not fighting just for property rights. We're fighting for our lives.
That's true. That is so true. And, again, it's the collective of everything that's happening. We are being attacked from this federal government, the tyrannical takeover of this country, in all different directions. And, you know, there's other things. People are finally waking up. And I mean, truthfully, when it comes to the Clive and Bundy thing out in Nevada, that's been going on since, like, 93, as I understand it. When they first went out there and said, this is our land, move your cattle, the federal government seized the land of the state. There's no state sovereignty. But like you say, they come in and they take over. Right now they're stealing his cattle, as I understand it, removing the cattle off of
Yeah, you know
their
what's
land.
Really sad about that? They're rounding up cattle. They're getting rid of them. I understand they're even burying some of them out in the desert. But as they're rounding up these cattle, they're not making sure that the calves are going. This is breeding season out there. The little calves, if they happen to go along with their mother, fine. If they don't and they're left behind, they're left behind.
Okay,
where
ladies,
are the animals?
Is Cliven on the line?
Not yet, no.
Not yet? Okay. I'm going to keep it up, and I'll be back with you all in a minute. I thought he was already on. Thanks.
Well, not only that, Sally, but besides, you and I both know how the feds went in on the pig farmers. I mean, everything. I mean,
yeah.
This
yeah.
is so out of
Baker.
Line, and our Constitution states that the federal government is not supposed to own this land, just within the District of Columbia area where the White House is. They are not supposed to own our land. They are not
exactly.
supposed to have any say-so over it.
Exactly. And, you know, it was in the state of Michigan State where they were going after that one pig farmer, Baker's Acres, I believe was the name. We had the gentleman on
yeah.
a couple years ago. He actually had an organic farm, and they were harassing him. But this was the state of Michigan that was doing that, well, probably because of the feds. Who knows? But it's
no,
totally
the feds
outrageous.
Went in.
So they did go in, too. Okay. Yeah. It's outrageous, and look how many farms here in Florida have been destroyed, taken over. And you were talking about the fact that they were killing this cattle. I want to know where all the animal rights activists are out there. They don't care about them just slaughtering, you know, doing this to the
animals. I've already asked
that
question yesterday. I'm not getting no answer. One thing I did do today, though, I called the governor's office out there, and I got a recording, and they say, well, if it's about this ranch issue, press one. And I thought, yeah, right, I'm not going to get distracted here. So I waited and I listened. Then they said, and any other issues, press two. So I pressed two, so I got a talking person. And I told her the reason I was calling and that I did not appreciate them trying to divert me to a dead box. And I said that this governor took an oath and he has the responsibility to stand up to that oath and take care of his constituents. And I said, where is the sheriff's department? How come they're not out there? They have more power than the president, the sheriff does. Where the hell are they?
Exactly.
And I told her in the end, I said, he needs to stand up or step down.
Exactly.
And I also
and
called
I know.
The
I really haven't heard
U.S.
Much.
No,
yeah,
but
okay.
I called the U.S. Land Management, too, in Nevada. They weren't too happy when I got done with them either. I let them know that they were an unconstitutional agency, just like the EPA and all the rest of them. They are in there breaking the Constitution, federal laws, state laws, and they should be treated as criminals. And I did. I called them today.
Excellent. And here's the thing with Cliven Bundy, which I've heard him on several different shows now. I mean, he's been out there sharing the message. I didn't learn about this till just recently. I never didn't realize this at all. Started way back in 1993. But he has said he is not going to cave into it. He is standing up for his rights. And it's not and they even said it's not even about the money anymore at this point. You know, they were charging grazing fees or something. It's not about the money. It's about rights. It's about America. It's about protecting us from a tyrannical communist government, this takeover of what's happening. And I mean, it was, and I think most of us, the listeners of this show, definitely you and me, we are absolutely so happy to hear someone speak like that. We need more Americans that are going to say enough is enough and we're not taking it anymore. And we need everybody. And I'm going to try to do it tomorrow. And I do work during the day, so I have to work it in on my breaks to call as many senators, congressional representatives, the Nevada State House, whatever. Call all of them as much as we possibly can to and melt the phone lines down. Do something about this. This isn't right. That's all there is to it. Now, we have... here. We have a caller with the last four digits of 7511.
Caller,
you're on the air. Can I get your name, please?
Hi, my name is Barry from California.
Hi, Barry.
Oh, hey, Barry.
Yeah, you were asking about the sheriff. The sheriff out there, they brought him from New York City, and he's a Homeland Security guy. He's a good old boy. He's not a constitutional sheriff. You know, you're not going to get nowhere. In fact, Clive was on another show last night. The sheriff, the governor, the state police, they're all in it together, and the agency.
Oh, my God.
But we got militia out there, and we got neighbors out there that are protesting and standing with him, and there's more going out there. That's supposed to be, from what I heard, 500 militia by this weekend.
Well, I heard the Oath Keepers are forming. I know here from the state of Florida there's some getting involved in it, too, and they are calling for the Oath Keepers to step up and get out there.
Now, I do have a number that people can call the head militia person in Nevada. They gave the number out last night. I don't know if you want me to give it out.
Sure.
Yeah, that would be great if you would.
Yeah, his name is Jerry, and the area code is 717-682-8073. That's Jerry.
And he's in charge of the head of the militia.
He's one of the head militia out there in Nevada that's doing all the coordinating with the militia.
Okay.
Or if anybody that wants to go out there, but they advise people don't go out there by yourselves, go in pairs or fours. Don't dress like you're the militia, because they're going to probably have roadblocks out there. They're going to try to block the militia from coming in to support him, to make it harder for him to have support. So,
well, there should be somewhere out there that I hope maybe you could land a small plane, isn't there?
Well, from what I heard, the militia have their own aircraft also.
Right.
Right. And yeah, and there is a free zone for them to protest. They set up the zone for them. Do you believe that?
Oh, yeah. And some people don't seem to have a problem with that. And I'm like, wait a minute. We're the land of the free. I shouldn't have to be in a free zone, a zone to be free.
No, they're breaking the Constitution left and right here. They have no jurisdiction at all. Like she was saying earlier, the only jurisdiction they have is Washington, D.C. That's it. Just like the president with all these executive orders. Those are unconstitutional.
Oh, yeah, because they don't stand ground. And let me tell you something. I've done a lot of research into this, and no matter what state you live in, if you live in a sovereign state, is all that matters. The Supreme Court has said that Congress can get rid of any treaty at any time or stop it.
Excuse me.
By
just
doing
comment.
A nullification.
Hey, this is very smart. I was just calling Cliven's house. He's on an interview right now with Greta Van Susteren. I do have a caller from his family who's willing to talk with us. Her name is Lynn Brown. She is a Bundy. And Lynn, are you there?
Hasn't called in yet.
Okay, did you get the email?
I can check that, but we have right now we do have a caller from California who's giving us some information.
Okay, go ahead and then check for her number because she's calling in. Thanks.
Okay.
I also have shortwave frequency numbers, and they're controlling those to give out information 24/7 while this is going on. I can give those out also if you'd like.
Okay.
Please do.
This is now the first ones I'm going to give out is a single sideband.
Wait a minute. Let me write that down just a minute.
Okay. No problem.
Okay. All right.
Single sideband shortwave radios for the 80 meter is the number is 3940.
Wait a minute. Shortwave 80 meter?
Right.
Okay.
And there's two numbers, two different numbers you can dial in. 3947 39.40.
Okay.
And then I have two for the 40 meter.
Okay. What's that?
71.90 up to 72.95.
71.90 up to
72.95.
Got it.
And
okay.
3 a.m. range numbers.
You know what you could do? You could go ahead and email it to us, and we could put it on a site for you.
Okay.
You can email
it to
heartblogtalk@yahoo.com.
Okay. It's and just three more numbers. A.m. range, 71.18.
Mm-hmm.
71.95.
Mm-hmm.
And 72.85.
Got it. Thanks.
So what was that email again?
SmartTalkBlogTalk@yahoo.com.
Okay. I'll email you.
Great.
Thank you. Sally, do we have...
Not yet.
Okay. She's supposed to be calling
you. You can go ahead and mute me. I just wanted to give you that information out.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, because that was some good information to know, especially after the phone calls that I made to Nevada today.
Yes, and, you know, while we're... Oh, okay, I think we may have... Yes, okay.
Okay.
We now have our guest.
Okay. Lynn?
Hello.
Hey, is this Clavin?
No, this is his son, Dave. Clavin isn't available right at the moment.
Well, I knew he wasn't, but I was just talking with Lynn, and she said she'd go on, and I guess she grabbed you in time. Thank you so much for joining us, Dave. This is Sherry Smart and Neil Rice. Sally Batiste was nice and Baptist was nice enough to let us, take over her show for this hour and have you guys on so you can give us updates about what's happening out there with your farm, with your ranch.
Yeah, well, the latest is we've got just a tremendous amount of support right now, and we're happy about that, and we are getting some representation from some of our local officials, government officials, state and county, and so we are happy about that, but we're still under siege by our federal government, and
Are they ratcheting it up, or is everything kind of like just a stalemate, or are they bringing more people on site?
Well, they've moved to different locations now on gathering cattle at different parts of our ranch, so they're still in the pursuit right now.
And what are they doing with your cattle? Are they just confiscating it, or are they killing your cattle? What are they doing with your property?
Well, we know for a fact they're confiscating them. They've got them located in Toquap location. It's just it's a gravel, state gravel pit off of Interstate 15 there between Mesquite and Logandale. We know that for sure. We do have some assumption that some cattle has been shot and killed and perhaps burned. We've seen smoke and have had reports of gunshots up around the mountain where they were gathering last. So
now, what is your answer to the government when they accuse you of illegal grazing?
Well, our answer is that the federal government, does not have jurisdiction here in the state of Nevada over this land. It is a state sovereign state, and it's a state land, not federal government land.
I just watched The Five tonight, and I about had the blood pop out of my eyes when I was listening to them. I listened to Bob Beckel talk about, well, you know, those guys are just breaking the law, and they just need to pay the fine and just go on with life. And it amazes me that the mainstream media is not very well educated about states' rights, and they keep propagating a lie, and it's very difficult for you guys with your voice to overcome this. Hopefully there are a lot of grassroots media outlets that you're talking with to get the word out.
There is, and, you know, people are waking up and realizing that that other stuff is lies and incorrect. And, you know, this of course, has become, this is more about, there's more issues here than just the cattle and our rights.
Oh, yeah.
That's going on here. And people are starting to realize that.
And how many are on site right now when you've got your camp out? I noticed that you've got this private area that's your property designated for people to come and camp out and help out. How many people do you have now that are driving up, and do you get new people every day that are coming to assist?
Most of the people are new every day, and they just come in waves. It's a 24-hour location, and there's roughly anywhere between 200 to 300 people at a time. I mean, it comes in waves. We've had, different people come and speak, and there's been rallies and stuff there at that time. But, yeah, around 200 to 300 people at a time, and most of them are different people that just come and show their support and leave, and most of them have jobs and responsibilities, but a lot of them have returned more than once.
Well, I did talk with Sheriff Mack on the phone today, and he said that he's heading up Saturday morning. I was hoping he'd be there a little sooner.
Yeah, that would be great.
He said he is going to be there Saturday morning. So I gave him the contact number for the person that he needs to meet with when he arrives there.
Yeah.
And are you getting other groups as well to come in and lend support?
Yeah, we've had different support. We've had some state assembly people come, and we've had talk show radio hosts. We had Sean Hannity's show here, and there's been a few others that have showed support and have brought crowds, and we've just really had a lot of support, and really do appreciate it.
And hopefully Sean's getting out the word about states' rights, that he's not swallowing the Bob Beckel line.
Yeah.
Of bowing down
to
the government.
I sure hope so. You know, the question here, one of the questions is, everyone needs to ask themselves, what does it mean to be a sovereign state? What does a sovereign state mean? You know, I talked with the county commissioner this morning, and I told him, I said, we the people are doing everything in our power to keep you in power so that you have a job and that you can continue to serve we the people. Because if the federal government has their way, it would be just a federal role. There would be really no need for county commissioners. We wouldn't have a need for the county sheriff, in our case, Metro, and the local police force. The federal government now with the BLM has an army. And they want it to be unlimited rule and unlimited power by that one army. And they have demonstrated that several times here. They've disregarded the Constitution in several ways, violating many people's First Amendment right, freedom of speech and expression. Just yesterday, they threw a woman to the ground during a protest that, a mother of several kids and a cancer survivor, threw her right to the ground and tased another man in that protest, tased him three times in that protest. So,
Are you ready to take questions, Dave? Are you ready for a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I've got Sally. If you look at the board, there's a caller who called in. He says they have a good suggestion. She's calling in on 407-201. I won't give you the last four digits, but it's a 407-201 number.
Yep. They're on the air.
Yep.
Hi. Thank you so much for doing this, number one, and standing up for the people. But I have a suggestion in making a sign, a big 4x8 plywood sign, and putting it at the entrance of your property, and also put a notice in the newspaper and send a certified notice to the sheriff and say there has been no due process in this matter, and also put all officials following unconstitutional orders and encroaching or infringing on my rights shall be personally liable for personal and property damage as well as mental anguish. And then put his name, your dad's name, at the bottom, and sign the letters. I would even print some of those off and stick them to the glass on the driver's side of the police vehicle if you can get that close, or the whichever officials are out there. And because this is something that will work, and I think they might just call everything off, especially with all of these people that are coming to the area. But I would like to say that the U.S. Constitution only allows for three departments, and that's the Department of Defense, the Department of Treasury, and the Department, State Department. And all the rest are not lawful, and the Congress and their minions overstep every day on new rules and regulations that are not in their jurisdiction, and we have to stop this. And the sheriffs who are working with the federal agencies are doing so unlawfully because their sole job is to side with the people and protect them. And they are foolish to allow the federal government to shift responsibility and liability to them because they can't comprehend the fullness of their office's responsibilities and duties. And the federal government owns no property outside of D.C. when they did own property in the territories. As those territories converted to statehood, all land was supposed to be transferred to the states. So the federal government owns no properties. They don't even own any of these parks.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was brilliant. Thank you.
Okay.
Dave, did you get all that, or do you need me to
yeah.
send you an email with all that information in it?
Yeah, you know, an email would be great, but that was just really, really good. She was right on, just right on that. And my only comment is I'd say in my conversation this morning with one of our county commissioners, I asked him again to have the county sheriff send us some metro officers for some protection of our life, liberty, and property. And he says, well, the county sheriff isn't going to do anything until, well, what he says he's got a plan in place in the event that things get out of hand.
What
and
was
I
the
said,
plan?
I said, are you kidding me? He didn't give me the plan, but I said, are you kidding me? I said, his position is to protect us so that things don't get out of hand. We don't want things to get out of hand. And I went further and I said, you know, we've got right now, just roughly, I know we got more than 25,000 followers, but we've got 25,000, we've been getting between 25,000 and 30,000 hits on different blogs and emails. So we've got 25,000, my family and 25,000, 30,000 other Americans will hold you each personally liable for any fatalities that take place during this interaction here. Because it's your responsibility to prevent that from happening.
Exactly.
Neil?
It's unbelievable they even say that.
I know
that.
You've been sitting
on
the edge of your seat, Neil. I know you have a lot to say.
Yeah, because I'm fuming. I wish I was
I
the hell out
be.
There, I'll tell you. One thing, we had a caller in from California, gave us some very interesting information. I don't know if you can confirm this or not, but I understand that supposedly your sheriff is from New York City, and he was at one time with FEMA. Do you know anything about that?
You know, I don't know enough information to really talk about that. I did hear that he was from New York, but I don't know anything more than that.
Right, because you do understand that the sheriff actually has more power than the president.
I certainly do. In Clark County,
yes.
He does. I certainly know that, yes. Yeah.
And for him to stand around with his hands in his pocket until the bomb breaks, you know, that's going to be
yeah.
a kind of late time to start doing something. Well, anyway, can you confirm this also, that you've been approached many times from developers and real estate development people that wanted to buy this land because you're so close to I-15, for one thing. And this land, it's just not, we know it's not about the turtle, the cattle, and all this other crap. It's about the water. It's about the land, the value of it. And I understand that there's actually like a natural gas pipeline that runs through that area too.
That's correct.
So this really has, it's got, they're speaking in the wrong term when they're saying about protecting some dumb turtle, you know?
Yeah, Yeah, well, and it's certainly not about the protection of the tortoise. You know, just 2 days ago, I got the report that they euthanized another 1,000 turtles in Las Vegas, and they have done that at least two other times that I'm aware of. You know, euthanized, you know, several hundreds of them. And, you know, I can't believe that any more people would believe that turtle is endangered when that is when euthanizing them is so public.
No, these are a bunch of
mentally
retarded
people,
in my opinion.
I'm going to have to go for just a second, Dave. I'm going to be right back with you. I just got a phone call from Sheriff Mack. So I want to take that while I have you on the air. So hopefully, Neil and you can have this discussion. I also wanted to let you know that the caller that gave you the ideas about the signs, I've already emailed all that information over to you, Dave.
Okay, wonderful. That's a really good idea, and we'll definitely act on that.
Okay, and I'll be back on in a few minutes.
Thank
okay.
you.
Dave, I can't express enough. I mean, the sorrow that I feel when this happens to anybody in our country like this. I don't know where our politicians and have allowed this to happen. Everything that is wrong in this country today is wrong because of their actions.
Well, and it is disheartening, and that's the thing that is really sad here in this situation. And you know, we have our state representatives and our elected officials have the power and the authority to stop all of this in its tracks if they would just say no. All they have to do is just say no, and it would be stopped. And,
well, the Bureau of Land Management, they are an unconstitutional agency. They are way over their steps in what they're doing. They are committing a crime that is beyond belief, and they're getting away with it. I did call my congressman first thing this morning, and I told him about this, and I want it stopped, and I want you to start talking and bringing it up in Congress. I said, this is your job. This is what you were elected for.
Yeah,
and I think more people need to do that.
Yeah. That's certainly right. I have made the comment several times to different officials that, you know, take this opportunity right here with this fight with Clive and Bundy and his preemptive rights. Take this opportunity right here and now to show the authority of your office and your obligation to that office to the citizens of Nevada and Clive County. Well, this is a great opportunity to do that. I specifically told the county sheriff that.
Yes.
But, looks like Sherry's back.
This is so illegal, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Sherry, you back?
Yes, I am. We're playing phone tag here, so I'll have to wait and see what he wanted to say at a later date. So who are we talking with now? Do we still have Dave on the line?
Yes.
Yeah, this is still Dave on the line.
Oh, great, Dave. So what's the game plan? How long do you think your guys are going to be kind of staging this, whatever you want to call it, a standoff? Do you have any idea how long it's going to take to get the guys off your land?
We've always said that we will be here and do whatever it takes to be here and to preserve our freedoms and our rights and those of all Americans, and particularly those of here in Clark County. So we're planning on being here through the long haul.
Well, I used to go up and visit that area quite a lot. In fact, I called up a friend of mine that lives in St. George and asked her if she knew you people, and she said, oh, my gosh. And so that's how I got in touch with you, is through this friend, and she's totally devastated by what's happening to your family. She cannot believe it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. We're freedom-loving people and, God-fearing. We're not violent like a lot of the media wants to portray us. We're just, we're just normal, hardworking Americans with families trying to make a living and carve a life out of this out of this time we got here, I guess I could say.
And you've been on the land how long, your family?
My family has been on this land since 1877.
1877. Do you almost feel like that this is surreal to you, that you cannot believe your own government is doing this to you?
You know, every time an event occurs, like yesterday when that event took place where a woman was thrown into the ground and another protester was tased, every time something like that happens, it just seems so unbelievable. And I've been just as a young boy when this thing first started about 25 years ago, I've seen a lot throughout that time, and every time it's still unbelievable.
And do you think that every time it just ratchets up a notch, that the tension gets built a little bit higher? And then what do you think is the ultimate goal of all this? Is this just pure intimidation to put you in your place, or what's the local talk there? What is the people that are living there right now, and they're having a coffee clutch, you know, and they're sitting over the back of the bumper of the pickup truck and they're having a dialogue. What's going on? What's the conversation?
Well, they just can't believe it either. They've been around and they've been harassed. A lot of them have been harassed by BLM Rangers. But a lot of people are still in unbelief and their eyes are being opened. A lot of people make comments like, man, I just didn't realize how bad it is or how bad it can be. I didn't realize that these, Rangers, this bureaucracy will use the force that they have used the last few days. And so it's been a big education for a lot of people here in really throughout the entire country. I mean, we've had people from all over the nation correspond and call and travel to spend time on the picket line and learn what really is going on here. And people are just in unbelief. They're just in awe that, you know, we can't believe it. We can't.
Now, are your local churches and wards, are they all getting together and coming together and helping you out?
I haven't noticed any churches that have come together. I know, you know, of lots of religious, you know, people, but not any churches that I know that are actually rallying together.
That sounds like it would be just a natural, because I know that area fairly well, and I'm really kind of surprised that they have not come out to embrace you all.
Well, you know, like I say, most of the people, I don't know everybody that's involved, you know, that come and support, but most people are, you know, God-fearing people that you know, that have faith that God is ultimately in charge. And, I mean, we get a lot of expression of faith during this time. But like I say, we haven't been sanctioned or anything by any religious groups, you know, at this point, or churches or anything like that.
And do you have any attorneys that are stepping up? Any people in the legal profession that are volunteering their expertise and their knowledge to help you with this?
We've had several that are approaching us, and a few that we're beginning the process to working with. And my dad's got one in particular that he has been working with on this case. That's been that understands what's going on here. Yeah.
And hopefully, I did read your site where you were asking people how to dress, how to behave, to be peaceful, to have your cell phones out and your cameras out at all times, to be videotaping everything that goes down. And you were reiterating absolutely no arms, absolutely not be aggressive at all, that this is strictly a peaceful gathering of like-minded individuals who are looking out for your private property rights and states' rights.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is, you know, my dad's biggest concern is the safety of people.
Right.
And we want everyone to demonstrate peaceably in we want this to be resolved peaceably. Now, that goes to say that is, we're really concerned that our county sheriff is dragging his feet and not providing we the people with protection and upholding his oath of office to protect our life, liberty, and property. And,
it looks like it's a golden opportunity for a new candidate for sheriff come your next election.
Well, he's on his way out, and for some reason he's more concerned with his exit than he is in upholding his office.
Oh, well, I don't want to say too much, but I think there are certain things you can fill in the blank. You know, it doesn't take a brain trust to figure out what's going on there. But I tell you what, this is a great gathering point for all of you now to discuss the future of your county sheriff and to look amongst yourselves for who would be a constitutional person with the guts and the fortitude to stand up for what's right.
That's absolutely right.
Dave, let me ask you a question because I hope somebody is doing this. I hope someone is contacting media in other countries. I want other countries to see what is going on here in America. You have this issue that they're going after you, but we have many similar issues with land, water, everything across this country. And I want the rest of the world to see just what is going on.
Yeah. Well, we've gotten some really good coverage, and daily we just continue to get more and more coverage on this issue. And it has really been amazing. You know, we've got a staff that are working around the clock that's putting together, you know, doing all their computer work and technical stuff. And it's been just amazing the amount of coverage that we've gotten and are getting every day.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, I'm just reading the article that Chris Ann Hall just wrote about this, and she's calling it The Truth About Clive and Bundy, Cows, and the Constitution. And she said the struggle over cow grazing is about more than cows. It's about the fundamental alteration of our constitutional republic. If that doesn't bring the hair on the nape of your neck up, I don't know what would. Because
this is a
launching pad for something else, folks. It's much, much bigger than cattle and airplanes and tasing.
Yeah.
How many acres does that encumber, Dave?
There's roughly 500,000 acres of, or not 500, let me back up a minute. About 200, actually. 200,000 acres of rangeland that our cattle graze on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought the BLM was supposed to assist the ranchers in the management of the ranges.
Well, I don't know the exact date, but sometime in the 1950s, the bureaucracy was created just as a management bureaucracy. And somewhere along the line, they took on an assumed ownership role. And it just escalated into what it is today.
Now, how many people in the area really understand that? Did they understand their rights?
You know, it went from, let me answer that in just a second. It went from a few BLM managers that worked directly with the ranchers and the ranchers paid a fee, a grazing fee to them, and then that money went into range improvements. So it went from that to what we have today, where they fully assume ownership and now have an entire army. And I'm not exaggerating. They have men with AR-15s, other tasers and handguns and full military garb doing their dirty work. And so that's where it's evolved from and to. And so, yeah, I shouldn't say, I got to be careful saying this, because I find that people are smarter than than sometimes we give them credit for.
But I agree.
I was going to say a lot of people just don't know what their rights are, and that is true. There are a lot that don't fully understand that, but there are an awful lot that are catching on really fast, and what's going on here, and the things that we're saying about state rights and state sovereignty makes sense to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Neil, is there
Sherry.
Yes.
Excuse me, Sherry. The caller from California is back on the line. I don't know if we got a minute to let him ask a question.
Sure,
caller,
absolutely.
You there?
Oh, great.
Sherry.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave. I'm curious. Is more militia coming, and are they trying to block the militia from coming into your property, or where they need to go?
Well, I don't know anything about militia. Who's blocking?
No, there is quite a few militia that's coming to support your dad, some of the shows I listen to, there's a possibility that they could try to block them so they're not there to support you guys. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not.
Okay. And what you said about getting it on so that the other countries know, Mike Rivera on RBN mentioned that, what you guys just mentioned just earlier, that the world needs to know what's going on.
Yep. Oh, yes.
So that's a good idea. So.
Well, I understand from a good source that the Oath Keepers in several states, I'm a member for longstanding, and they are emailing back and forth, and they are coordinating, and they are calling for everyone they can to get out there.
I've heard that Texas, Georgia militia, California militia, and Nevada militia are either there or on their way.
Mm-hmm.
Does anything know about the Arizona militia?
No, I don't know about that.
I know one of the... He has a show on the internet, and he's getting hold of the Oath Keepers in Arizona also. So
okay.
It's spreading. It's spreading.
Well, we certainly appreciate the support we're getting from a lot of different angles and people that are freedom-minded. Go ahead.
The thing about it, sir, and I'll get off, it's not just like you said, it's not about the money, it's not about your livelihood, it's about freedom, not just for you guys, but this is going to affect our whole country, so the whole country needs to stand by you, and
absolutely.
God bless you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you very much. Do you have a website or something that people can go to donate or to help you in any way?
Oh, boy. You know, my technical people have all of that.
You do have a Facebook page with a lot of information on it.
Yes. Yes. And I can email you all that information. I'll respond to that email that you emailed to me, and I'll give you everything, and you can maybe put it on the air. I apologize I don't have it right here in front of me, but
no,
we do have some.
That's understandable, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're doing a show on Saturday night. Neil and I are with your dad, hopefully we won't be, you know, preempted by Fox News or whatever, but we're scheduled to do one with him on Saturday night out of Tennessee. On Smokehouse with that group over there. So we can go ahead and get your email and get that information out then.
Okay. Yeah, that would be good. We certainly appreciate you guys' support and help on this.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, okay, we have one other caller. If we've got time for one more call.
Absolutely.
Okay, the last four digits are 7178. Caller, you're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Hi, this is Maggie. Hi, I just wanted to give some information to this gentleman. I'm sure you must be familiar with the struggles that Wayne Hage had gone through. He was a Nevada rancher as well. Are you familiar with him?
I am.
Okay. I don't know if there's a correlation between or specific issue between what happened to him and what is happening to you right now, but I'm sure there's got to be a lot of similarities there. And my suggestion would be, if you haven't already done so, would probably be to contact the legal firm that he had used, because I know eventually he was vindicated, and, of course, it was after his death that he had won this settlement, although I know they haven't paid off as of yet. But perhaps contacting the organization that he worked with might be beneficial to you. I don't know who that was. It could have been Pacific Legal Foundation. I don't know. Do you know who it was?
I do not, but we appreciate that suggestion.
You know, because I know it was a long 20-year battle or something that he went through, but they were successful, unfortunately too late for him and his wife. Also, there's an attorney, Fred Kelly Grant. I don't know, have you heard from him or heard his name?
I have not.
Okay. Well, Fred Kelly Grant has done a lot of work over the years, and one of the things he was very successful with was a process known as coordination. I'm not really very adept at explaining it to you, but that might be something that would be beneficial to you, and I know Sherry, so I will send her the contact information I have for Fred Kelly Grant, and she can forward it to you. Maybe he can give you some advice. I know he has helped some of the ranchers in Colorado who were just screwed out of their land and screwed out of the same kind of a deal as what you're experiencing. So maybe that would be helpful. I wish you the best of luck. God bless you. Believe me, the hearts of a lot of millions of Americans go out to you and your family for what's going on. It's tragic.
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Maggie.
You're welcome.
That was great information. Also, Dave, I just got a text message from Mary. She wanted you to know that Texas is on its way to you as well.
Wonderful.
Okay, let me make a suggestion, if I may. Sitting here listening to this lady made a little bell go off, and I don't know if it's going to be worth anything, but I'm one that's willing to try anything once. If you have an attorney of any kind that could do a letter for you to Eric Holder, let's back him in the corner. He knows this is unconstitutional. He knows that they are an unconstitutional agency. He knows that they aren't supposed to be owning this land. Send them a letter. Let the media know that he's got a letter, and this is what the letter says, and we're waiting for a reply.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a good suggestion. Never thought of that before, but this will take it right to the top. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great idea.
Good one, huh, Sherry?
I love it, yeah. I really do.
Yeah, that margarita helps, I'll tell you.
And I know you do not drink, so that was a lie.
I know.
I can't thank you enough, Dave. I know you guys have got to be exhausted. I know the phone is ringing off the hook because I've been one of those pesky little people. And please, please apologize to Lynn for me. I know I browbeat her. I made her feel guilty, but I told her, I said, look, people are going to think I'm a big fat liar if somebody does not come on here.
Yeah, no,
thank you. I cannot thank you enough. Thank you so much.
And
well,
God bless you and take our prayers back with you to everyone there. I will be paying for you every single day.
Oh, I have sent up multiple prayers all day long for your family and what's going on. Absolutely.
Yeah. And thank you guys so much. And those prayers are really the most important thing that we can receive. God is still in charge of all of this, and I think it's important for us to never forget that. And thanks, and keep up the good work.
Well, and I just want you to know that we are not going to forget you. So we will keep in touch. We're going to follow this. You know. We don't let go. Once we've made contact, we don't let go. It's like a stage five clinger. It's kind of scary in a way, but not really.
And don't forget that letter to Eric Holder, okay?
Hey, no, I wrote that down.
Trust me, we're going to send you a ton of information of what we think would help precipitate every bit of this. So you're not going to be left alone. We're not just going to drop stuff and then not follow up with you.
Yeah, we're certainly receptive for anything like that, any suggestions. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And I know
it's
getting close to 8 o'clock. We've had you on for quite some time. You did not expect it. And I cannot thank you enough. I really do appreciate it. And please, please tell your family that they have a lot of support out there. People that they have no clue. You know, they have no concept of how many people are really keeping them in our prayers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And I know that's what's going to make the difference here.
Yeah, and people like you that have integrity and they're willing to put it all on the line to take a stand. That's amazing because I think anybody with, not quite the backbone and not quite really entrenched in their morals and integrity would have backed down by now and gone home whimpering. And so I really praise you guys for taking that stand because I think it was it Sally that said this or Neil? One of you said, you know, you're basically taking a stand for the entire country.
Yeah.
You're representing each and every one of us out there.
Yeah, well, thank you. And, you know, my dad has made it clear a long time ago that he believes in this fight and knows that he's got to take it all the way, even perhaps to his grave, and is willing to do that. And he knows that it's impacting the entire country. And it's just so important that we all get on board and have that kind of fervor to make a difference, because most Americans know better. We just cannot let this tyranny move forward and get any stronger, or we're going to lose it all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one quick question before, you know, we finally say goodbye, because I hate to let you go. But did you guys have a family powwow? Did you guys sit around and discuss the possibilities of this move and what it meant and that it might be, you know, meaning your very lives by taking this stand?
We have. We have had several family meetings. And, you know, and like I say, this has been going on for about 25 years. And there's moments where it gets intense and then it drops down. This moment now where we're at is, of course, the most intense that it's ever been. But we have come together as a family on several occasions and talked about the implications of what we're up against.
And what do you think about the people that are surrounding the snipers, the guys in the helicopters, the guys with the dogs? Do you think that they might ever have a crisis of conscience and think to themselves, my God, this is my neighbor, this is my friend, this is my relative. What the heck am I thinking? I'm surprised that they haven't had a crisis of conscience and thought to themselves, this is not right. There's no way I'm going to do this. This is just not right.
Well, I would sure hope so, and I do believe so. A lot of the guys, the Rangers that we've encountered, are younger guys. A lot of them are military veterans that have spent time in Iraq and have come home and looked for something to do, I guess. And so this is what they're doing. And I do believe that some of them have been bothered by what they're doing. I
would think
of course
so.
Don't know that for sure, but I can see it in a lot of their eyes, and I think there is questions there.
Okay, well that gives me a glimmer of hope then, to know that you know they're sitting there and they're having uneasy nights as well, because I know your family is, and so it would be nice to know that the guys at the other end, the guys with the guns and the badge and the bullets, are also having uneasy nights and having conversations with the higher force, with God. And
yeah.
You know this is going to be on their souls. This is going to be,
We want them to honor, the same flag of freedom that we all pledge allegiance to, it's just sad that they've gone and put their life on the line for America, and then have come home, and now they're doing what they're doing to America. And so, you know, we hope there's a change of heart there, and I expect that there will be in a lot of them.
Well, Dave, thank you so very, very much, and we really appreciate you joining us. We've got another guest coming on in a minute. People, please don't leave. This is a woman who's also fighting for private property rights, just like Dave, maybe not to the extent, not having guns and helicopters and dogs sticked on her yet, but it could happen to any one of us at any time. And thank you, Dave, and thank your family, and God bless you.
Yes. Hey,
thank you. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See you. Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, you know,
Sally,
it was Thomas Jefferson.
I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce our next guest.
Okay, and just one quick thing to finish up on what was being said there. It was Thomas Jefferson that said, "One man with courage makes a majority." And we've got to realize Americans got to have the courage just like this. And we will survive all this, and we will take back this country, but that's exactly what we have to do. And Phyllis is here with us right as we speak. Hey, Phyllis, how are you doing? And thank you for tuning in, or joining us, I should say. Thank you for joining us. And we're going to get a full update about property rights here in Florida in reference to the 750 plan.
Yes, hello, I am with you, and what a wonderful show you have, and thank you so much for having me on tonight to continue that really heartfelt, such an amazing story there, and we can hardly believe we're in America sometimes when things like this are happening, but we do have to continue the fight for liberty, and that's what we've been doing here, and we've been successful, by the way, and I'm happy to share this story with you tonight, and thank you again for having me.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
thank you.
Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Now, Phyllis has, she's a wealth of information. I mean, she's done the 750 plan, regionalism, all aboard Florida, the plan under the President's Council on Sustainable Development that will control all housing and transportation choices for the next 50 years. She knows all about it. She's getting the word out because so many people are unaware of what's happening right here in the state of Florida. So fill us in.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's been an interesting 18 months. It all began in Vero Beach when a group called 750 came to our county chamber and made a presentation, designed charrette. And the first thing that came from their mouths was, "We intend to bring millions of passengers from Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Palm Beach by mass transit to use your parks and beaches." So that was a rather stunning statement for a community that chooses to live in a low-density population area, much like Martin County and majority of St. Lucie County. So we, our antennas went up right away, and we started educating ourselves, realizing that this was not something that we wanted. And so we spent the next few months attending all of their design charrettes as they worked their way down through the seven counties, because this is a 50-year plan for seven counties to control all housing and transportation choices. Now, if I could see a show of hands out there in your audience, I would ask to say how many of you own private property. I think the showing would be pretty large, because that is what separates our country from a king or a sultan or a czar, and it's the cornerstone of our country, the right to private property ownership. And we have to keep in mind that no government is worthy of its consent of the people unless they have the right to pursue happiness, their happiness, not the government's happiness, your happiness. That is your right, and the right to own private property. But 750 does not see it that way. They have a different vision for how they think we should live, and that includes bypassing local government and changing our local planning and zoning codes and ordinances so that they can construct what they call new urbanism. It's this utopian idea that we can all live in these apartments, they're called. They are low-income, high-rise, stack-and-pack apartments built adjacent to mass transit without garages so that we don't have to use automobiles. It's walkable. it's sustainable, it's green, it's smart, and they have these beautiful presentations of children eating ice cream and walking barefoot on the communal green spaces, and there are no cars because we're saving the planet. And the trains will take us from to and from our federalized living spaces that we cannot own, on trains that we can't afford, to jobs that don't exist. So this is their idea of how they think we should live. Single-family homes are not sustainable, and they decide what is and isn't sustainable. And I just wanted to give you the origin of this plan. There are 11 such regions in the country. It's not just happening on the East Coast. But it stems from the President's Council on Sustainable Communities, which was signed into executive order twice by former President Clinton and the current administration to include all rural lands. And 80% of the population by 2025, they want into train travel, mass transit. And you can Google this. You can go on the Google site and see the massive train layout across the country. And, of course, that's where all of Port Florida comes in. So we're fighting two atrocities over here, the 750, which is the housing portion, and then all aboard Florida, which is the transportation portion. And we're having great success, by the way. You can jump in anytime, and that's fine. Otherwise, I'll keep going with the history and how this has unfolded. So when we found out about this plan, we started attending all of their meetings, and we followed them down the coastline, and we read every published document that they had ever published, went to their website. The list is long, but we really found out what this was all about. So then we formed the American Coalition for Property Rights, which is a grassroots movement to provide the results of our research to the public in all of the towns and counties, cities, so that the people can decide whether or not they want this. And everywhere we have gone, everywhere that people have become educated, they vote no to it very resoundingly. I mean, there's no one comes up to the podium and says, oh, we like 750, this is a great plan. So, but it is all a matter of education. I mean, even the commissioners and council members who signed the contract back in 2009 and 10, they didn't even realize what it was about because it was passed under consent agenda, which means the staff signs papers that seem innocuous, and council members trust them, as they should, but council members and commissioners cannot possibly read everything that comes across their desk. So consent agenda is designed for this. The paperwork is signed. It's shelved for about 2 years. Then 750 comes back, and that's when they start implementing their plan. So we intervened, and we started speaking at homeowners associations, at civic groups, clubs, churches, yacht clubs, public library forums, and educating the people. And then the people go to their council meetings and county commission meetings. A lot of people have never even been to these meetings. They don't even know who their publicly elected officials are. You know, it's, people are working, they're raising their families, they don't have time. But for this, they took time out.
This is Sherry. Yes. Can I interject for just a moment?
Certainly.
When you're talking about going around and talking to different groups and organizations, were you met with, how were you received? Because I noticed here in my area in particular that the Chamber of Commerce and all the different clubs and everything, mm-hmm. they think that you're pretty much a nut job if you bring any of this up. What happens mm-hmm. when you're talking about this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, what takes away that nut job aspect is private property. Because
okay.
I have the contracts that the counties and commissioners signed. And their eyes start opening wide because they did not realize what is in the contract. As I said, they don't read it. So
right.
when I start quoting, for example, it says here the executive committee, I'm quoting from the consortium partnership agreement, the executive committee will serve as the overall governing board for the partnership. The executive committee will oversee the Sustainable Communities Regional Planning Grant Administration, establish the project, approve the overall work plan, recommend the selection of staff and consultants to the Regional Planning Council boards for action, provide guidance to the project director and program manager, provide policy direction for the regional vision and blueprint plan. And so, and then it goes on further in the implementation stage to say that you will amend your ordinances and your codes, your planning codes, to meet the regional vision blueprint plan. And that is the plan that 750 has designed. And they start by coming into your communities and redesigning your streets. They tell you your streets are all wrong.
Right.
They narrow them. They make them less car-friendly and more pedestrian-friendly. I'm sure you've
right.
seen this in some of the roundabouts and such. This is how they start. And then they go into your metropolitan planning organizations, and they offer these grants as the carrot, you see. That's the carrot, HUD, DOT, and EPA combined grants. And what community doesn't like free money?
But it's not what, free.
It's not
sorry,
free.
Sorry, I had to yell that out. It's not,
not
free.
It's not free. That's correct. And with those grants come terms and conditions, like the HUD livability principles. And they're those, and they tell you that all housing and transportation choices will be left up to them. So having the council members actually read the contract that was signed and showing them, starting to show them what's in them, that's when they cross the line there and start paying attention to say, okay, this is a legal contract, and these are the terms and conditions that we're bound to. And that's
okay, can I
sense.
Ask you a question, Phyllis, please?
Sure.
Before
sure.
you go further, because this is the point right now. This is Neil Rice talking to you.
Hi, hon.
And where and who holds these contracts? Where did you have to go? What did it take to get a copy
sure.
of these contracts?
It's very easy. We went to the staff at each county commission and council and ask for them and said, give us everything, because it's a matter of public record.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the right. You have the right to them. Now, in your area, you don't have, it's not called 750. In
no.
your area, it's probably called ICLE. I'm sure you've heard of ICLE.
No, oh, yeah, but we don't have ICLE here.
Mm-hmm.
We've got what is called the 2060 Vision Plan. I'm in Taylor
oh,
County.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh,
we've got the great big long one so that we'll
oh.
all be dead and gone and everybody else will be primed just to step into this.
Except your children and grandchildren, and they'll say,
well, they're fixing them in school, so they'll
yeah,
accept
they
it.
Are. Yeah, it's a total program. They're coming at us from every aspect. And we just try to, our group has just focused on this particular aspect because it took a lot of work to get the results we wanted, because it takes a long time to educate the public and for the public to understand that it's really up to them. They're the ones. It's not up to me. It's up to them. But it is a beautiful thing when you see a chamber filled with 350 people and they have to bring in chairs and the people are standing room only and they're flowing out the doors and into the lobbies and hallways. And that is when that moment happens, when the people take back their government, their representative government, out of the hands of these unelected bureaucrats and return it to the people. And when politicians respond to two things, money and fear of not being reelected, so when their constituents come in large numbers like that, that's when they start listening. Yep. And so it's not always a 5-0 vote. It's been 4-1. There's always one. And you have to start looking at the connections they might have to, say,
oh,
developers. You know, that's right. How are they, why are they so, you know, supportive of this? And you can usually follow the money and say, oh, well, the biggest contributors of their campaign were developers. Gee, what a coincidence, you know. So, you know, the developers are just lined up at the trough here waiting for Andre Duani and Victor Dove. I know Mr. Duani has been over in your area on a lecture tour. I don't know if you've had the pleasure of attending one of his lectures, but he is a piece of work. He has some
ideas.
You
mean in Sarasota, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, he's been there three times. This is Sherry. I'm in Sarasota. No, I've only had the pleasure of seeing him on YouTube. I've not really gone to press the flesh with him. No.
Well,
you know, with each I can just to shake his hand. No.
Oh, right. Well, tyranny comes in different forms. You know, it's not always about guns and explosions and those sorts of things. It always stems from an ideology. And his ideology is representative of 750. They come from the Congress from New Urbanism, and they are all of the cronies of 750, the unelected bureaucrats who have been working with HUD, DOT, and EPA on these projects for years. And they have their special architects and developers like Mr. Duane, who it's a golden parachute for them. It's a plan for the planners. It's a retirement plan for them. Their feet will never touch the ground, and it's all being done with our tax money.
Mm-hmm.
And without our knowledge, without our consent, without our vote, they just come and do it. So fortunately, three counties have been liberated now, and their cities, Indian River, St. Lucie, and Martin counties. Now, I'm working in Palm Beach, but that is one tough neighborhood down there because they're powerful. They already have high-density growth, and so trying to intercede down there is difficult. And we are attending all of the Treasure Coast Regional Planning Council meetings, which are in conjunction with 750 and South Florida Regional Planning Council meeting and Southeast Florida Regional Planning Council and the MPOs. And this is where they all come, the mayors from the towns and cities and counties, and they discuss how they're going to kumbaya together and get this plan done in their area. And we have been the opposition voice at every turn. So it just keep beating the drum, keep hammering away.
You know, Phyllis, I'm reading your notes that you sent over to me, and I find this kind of fascinating. It says, according to the 2011 Community Preferences Survey, sponsored by the National Association of Realtors, only 8% of those interviewed prefer to live in a city of mixed offices and shops. The mixed
Isn't that amazing?
750 plans to create 80% stated they would prefer. So my goodness, so they have 8% opposed to 80%? Whose numbers are right?
Right, I know. I mean, as we grow in America, we get jobs, we educate ourselves. One of our primary goals is to buy a home.
Right.
I mean, that's our largest investment for many of us. I know it is with me, and that's our dream. That's our place, that last place on earth we can go, or we can use it for collateral, or we can use it as leverage to buy a business and increase our wealth. I mean, that private property is sacred, but not to 750. To them, it's and the EPA is on board with this, and as you well know, the EPA is just a wrecking ball. Way too powerful, and it's all about regulation and money, and they feel that our private homes with our individually controlled air conditioners and, you know, our selfish lawns with the irrigation are not sustainable, that it's not good for the planet. So in this massive redistribution of wealth, homeowner taxes are going to skyrocket to pay for the sustainable communities, for the cities. It's called robbing the suburbs to pay for the cities. So, and then they're putting us in at the same time, smaller and smaller and smaller cars, in case we haven't noticed, until everybody will be driving the clown cars. They have mandated docking stations all the way from Miami to Jacksonville up the East Coast, so that everybody will then transfer to electric cars. So they will drive us shorter and shorter.
Well, you know, Phyllis, what's interesting is I saw an article the other day about a Volkswagen car that's built in Europe that gets 300 miles to the gallon. 300 miles a gallon. But we're not permitted to sell it in the U.S.
Yeah, no, of course
not. Does that
make
sense to anyone?
That takes too much sense, doesn't it? It's
funny that we're going to have to spend more money for these docking stations for you to plug in your smart car or whatever little thing you're going to have.
Right.
And you're going to be able to travel maybe, 6 hours and have to pull over and plug in somewhere. stupid. It's absolutely stupid. And I sit there and I'm just amazed with the stupidity of the American public. If they don't sit there and think, my God in heaven, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. And now we find out from the U.S. Navy that we really don't need oil at all. We can convert seawater to our fuel. Do we have an abundance of seawater?
We don't need coal, you know.
Thank you. Dear God in heaven.
The poor people that are they're shutting the coal industry down, and families, they can't feed their families, they're out of work, and it's just awful what they're doing to manipulating all of this. And now the gas tax is what pays for construction of the roads. So now that they're going to electric cars, the gas tax will go away. They'll charge your odometer by the mile. So people will be in increments, this is all happening in increments, will be discouraged from driving. So if
and
you like,
so I would encourage everyone that's listening that happens to live, you know, in an incorporated area like I do. I live in an incorporated area, and so we took out a bond over a year ago to do our roads for our little city. We took out a bond. Do you know that this year, not 1 mile was paved, but yet we're paying interest on a bond. Where's that money going?
Right.
Is anybody paying attention? Does anybody say, you know what, this doesn't make sense?
The taxpayer is just getting so drawn over the coals on all of these things. You know, we're not paying attention, and we need to raise awareness all the time. That's why your radio show is such a wonderful thing that we can do this. And hopefully people will listen and awaken and become aware and become active. And that's what it takes, because government belongs to the people that show up, you know, and we have to take an active interest in this. And it happens. We saw it in all the cities and counties where we've been. And now the big issue is All Aboard Florida, which is combined. And now you've got to look at these interpersonal relationships and understand that the developers are on the boards of the DOT and All Aboard Florida, and that Fortress is the parent company for shipping and shipping containers, and they're widening the Panama Canal and deepening the ports in Miami, and they are planning for a massive freight operation. But All Aboard Florida is going to be the shell company, because no passenger train in the United States operates at a profit, not one. So it's a plan to fail, malinvestment. Right now you've got Amtrak that operates from Miami to Orlando, and they are hemorrhaging money at about, let's see, for that particular route, $47 million per year. You've got Trirail over there operating Miami to Palm Beach, and they're losing, they're only losing $58 million per year, and Amtrak is projecting $2 billion loss in the next 5 years. So there is absolutely no responsibility at play here. They are forcing this company to operate. There's no ridership that will go from Miami to Orlando through all our Treasure Coast towns and go to cut them in two, because when Flagler came down here and laid the railroad, the towns developed around the railroad, and that was fine. But now you've got businesses and private homes, and they're going to be sending 50 trains a day. All Aboard Florida is going to travel at 110 miles an hour. That is, I mean, if you're living within 400 feet of that, it's just going to rattle your windows. And the marine industry is very concerned, because they've got bridges all across the Intracoastal Waterway, and it's going. The bridges are going to be going up twice an hour. It's going to take 30 minutes of every hour. You've got commercial trade down the ICW. I mean, the disruptions that are going, and the businesses that are going to suffer from this, and they don't care. That's what's astonishing to me. So we're on a campaign, again, to stop All Aboard Florida, and we are working with our commission. Now, this is a much easier deal to sell to them, because they see very quickly the negative impact that this is going to have on the community. And the cost to the taxpayer, for starters, is $1.5 billion.
Whoa.
And Yeah, projecting 2.4. So when that fails, when that company fails, and it will, they'll put it in, and they'll bring, just like Mr. Dover said, the population redistribution up to our small communities, and they will start their urban sprawl or upward sprawl all along the way, and then All Aboard Florida will cease to exist, and we will have we'll continue to pay off the debt, and the new tracks will have been laid with our money. That's what they're using our money for, really, is to lay the freight tracks. And then the freight that's going to be coming from the Panama Canal on these mega ships are, one of these ships owns a whole 75 miles long worth of containers. I mean, if you take one of those ships and take the containers off and lay them in on, and it goes 75 miles. So the freight trains are going to be 2 miles long, and they're going to come through 50 times a day. This is the plan.
So all of Florida will become nothing other than a superhighway.
Yeah.
Moving
goods
through Florida, and you can forget about everything else. Now, anybody that, you know, any of the commissioners or politicians out there, are they looking at this and realizing that this is not sustainable? I mean, we're sitting here talking about this rancher out in Nevada because of turtles, right?
Yes.
But what we're not concerned about what's going on here in Florida, and none of this is sustainable. So, okay, so who's crazy? Am I nuts that I don't see their picture? Or are they nuts? And then is this intentional? Are we, is the ultimate goal to bankrupt Florida and by way of our nation? I mean, are we just to be, because honestly, none of this is sustainable. And when you go to your local government and you have your 3 minutes of public comment and you make comments and their eyes are glazed over, they don't answer you. You send emails, they don't answer you. You call them out, they don't answer you.
Yep.
Are you kidding? Is anybody awake? Those people that are at the helm, are they awake?
Yeah, but did most people listen to what Phyllis just said? I think that most people missed it. What she is telling you is that this is the United Nations plan.
Yeah, we know that.
But I know, but wait a minute. Most people don't. And the plan eventually is to hook everything up so that we have a North American Union.
Right.
And
but
this
will
do it.
Exactly. Phyllis, I hate to do this, but what I'm saying is, you have to look at this. I understand what you're saying, Neil. I mean, you and I have had many, many conversations about this. You and I get what is going on. What I'm talking about right now is accountability with our local government, accountability with the people that are making these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You and I
understand
they
all have to go. Every one of them has to go.
But
there's
what I'm
no
saying
question.
Is these people should understand this. It's very frustrating for people like us when we're trying to have a conversation with the people that have the power of the button, because they had the vote, to make them understand this is to their own detriment as well.
Yes, they're doing it to themselves.
Thank you.
but they're getting paid in such big ways that they can leave this country if they want to, and they will be very well set. And a big problem we're going to have, Phyllis, with Tallahassee. The GOP has elected, you know, a new Senate president and a new House Speaker.
Mm-hmm.
The new Senate president is Andy Gardner. He's from Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
The House Speaker is from over in Merritt Island area over in there, Steve Crucifelli. They are both advocates for all this garbage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you honestly think we'll ever see anything good come out of Tallahassee again?
They
killed the House Bill 703 today. It's dead.
Well, I something scared me that I saw yesterday out of Tallahassee, and it was exactly what I'm talking about. They tried to get a bill through House Senate. It was, what was the number? House Bill 703 to bypass local comprehensive plans. Now, The reason we won Martin County is because Sarah Hurd and her commissioners worked for 2 years, I know of, very hard on the comprehensive plan to preserve their natural environment, to preserve slow growth, and to protect their beautiful county, which they did very well. We came and proved to them how 750 is going to absolutely destroy that with their high-density development, high-intensity of development, and bypassing what they've done. So that really made their hair stand on end, and in the end, we've got the 4-1 vote. But yesterday I noticed in the newspaper that it almost went through in Tallahassee to take away the power of local home rule of law and let the environmentalists, the EPA, come in and decide about water and resources. I mean, the EPA is just out of control. And once they control the water, well, you know, that's life right there. We all know this. But these things are happening all the time, and people just are not away. It didn't pass, but it was close. And Sarah Hurd went up there and had a fit and voiced her alarm at this. And thank goodness it didn't go through, but they're trying. You know the progressives are trying because they want us to take a back seat to the collective, you know, for the collective good. And Governor Scott surprisingly approved the wildlife corridor right down the center of Florida.
Oh, he's working on another one bigger yet.
Oh,
from the Panhandle all the way down the West Coast to the Everglades, covering 21 counties.
Wow. Excuse me.
With
BP
oil spill money.
Mm-hmm.
So that
we have a caller.
Okay. Let him on.
Okay, the last four digits, 2469. Caller, you are on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Well, this is Chris, near Las Vegas, Nevada. Sherry and my group there.
Hey.
Hi, Chris.
Well, I'm a private public policy advocate, and I have been paying attention to these issues that you're speaking about having to do with control of our lives and stack them and pack them that are all parts of Agenda 21, and they've got a couple other names for it, Earth First or Future Earth, or they keep changing the name, so it's very difficult to keep track of it.
Right.
It also involves the International Property Maintenance Code, which whenever you're outside of your mind enough to go out and take a building permit, they have these clauses that attach to other documents that are not kept on site where you fill out that innocent appearing form that has all these what they call lounges or LexisNexis legal attachments to these permits that attach to the International Building Code, which replaced the Uniform Building Code.
Right. International Building Code. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And when you, well, and whenever you take a permit and attach that International Building Code, it invokes the International Property Maintenance Code, which gives the county or whatever entity you've taken the permit, which is licensed to do that, which is otherwise deemed illegal, which may not be unlawful, that gives them purvey and tacit presumption that they have the right to enter your home at any time to check on your welfare, to preserve your safety, and to make sure you don't have any dangerous conditions in your home like appliances that you may have changed out yourself or other contractors may have installed that don't meet their smart codes.
Wow,
so,
Chris.
Where can we go?
Where
can we go to find out about this?
Would you do me a favor, Chris, and would you please email me your contact information and your number and this information so we can have a conversation and have you on a show? Because this is fascinating. And just email me at smarttalkblogtalk@yahoo.com. This is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I thought I had a story to tell. This is amazing.
I've got lots of stories to share with you, but it involves the smart meters on your home, which are 24/7, 365 surveillance devices, mind control.
Right. I've refused my smart meter, and now I'm being charged for my refusal.
Well, me too. And I'm one of the few standing here in Las Vegas that doesn't have a smart meter on my home, but
good
I am
for
a
you.
Politically assassinated union electrician.
Mm-hmm.
And I was assassinated by Harry Reid, probably, for, I can't prove the link yet, but I expect that was it because I was calling his office complaining about the constitutionally invidious aspects of the health scam, which was never about health care anyway.
Right.
And the fact that it invades our private, most intimate aspects of our life, our doctor-patient relationships, and puts third-party private foreign corporate agents from the IRS in between those to have that access to our private, personal, and just the most intimate details of our life, amongst other things.
Every level of our lives, every aspect of our life, inventory and control, it never stops. But this international property maintenance code and these building permits, is there a website that we can go to that you know of just quickly or that we can learn more?
Well, I know that Deborah Tavares at StopTheCrime.net has a multitude of documents.
Yeah, we can go to her site. Absolutely.
And Jerry Kirk, who is at freedom-school.com, the one in Texas, under Jerry Kirk on the left-hand side where you can select them. There are many good contributors on that site, but
okay.
He has a monstrous amount of information, and he's one that was probably one of the cutting edge of discovering the International Property Maintenance Code and the insidious aspects of this UN infiltration document that's supposed to be the cure for everything, that really what it is, it's the eradication of all your private rights against unlawful search and seizure, warrantless search and seizure.
Unbelievable.
It is stunning. It is just stunning. Oh, another
now, our caller, Chris?
Yes?
Are you a builder? Are you a developer or anything like that? Are you involved with any of that?
Well, I've done my own building.
Okay.
In fact, you'll be interested in this likely. I beat the zone Nazis in Yavapai County, Arizona, who alleged that I was a public nuisance and tried to extort $10,000
for enjoying. How exactly were you a public nuisance?
Say again?
How exactly were you a public nuisance? I mean, how did they put that?
Oh, because I didn't take out a permit.
Oh, you were a bad boy.
Well,
you
I beat them.
You were a very, very bad boy. You did not pull a permit.
Yeah, that's what they said. And I caught them lying and fabricating evidence in their kangaroo courts where the actors in there dress as judges and pro se executioners. And if you're foolish enough to take a pretender defender to represent you in the interest of the court, then you basically laid yourself prostrate to be prosecuted and taken advantage, preyed upon, and absolutely destroyed by any means possible. Kangaroo courts, which are really just extortion rackets.
Now, Chris, let me ask something. Are you familiar at all with the common law grand jury?
Yes, ma'am, I am. In fact, you'll find me as a representative for Nevada on your Liberty Alliance for John Durash's group. And I formerly was affiliated with Tim Turner's group, although I was very suspect of he and his inner circle, his core.
Familiar with that as well.
I protected my little following of assembly here as the elected by the people of Clark County in Nevada, state nation, as the common law Supreme Court Chief Justice of the common law Supreme Court.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Then you're aware of what's going out there in Nevada right now with that rancher Bundy, right?
Intimately. I was there yesterday. I've spoken to two of the sons today already. I've done a couple of other radio broadcasts about that. And it's really such a terrible thing. The absolute truth is the BLM, the state of Nevada, the Forest Service, and the federal government really have no authority or jurisdiction on that land whatsoever.
Absolutely.
And they are really ripe for lots of Title 18 United States Code 1961 racketeering charges, as
Ooh.
Well as Title 42 United States Code 1983 civil rights violations for violations of private rights. They've actually been cattle rustling, arm robbing people, assault and battery, felony assault and battery. They've been in trespass, felony criminal trespass. And I have been in counsel with the Bundys and trying to give them some education, although they're very schooled and knowledgeable themselves. Cliven is one of the more intellectually knowledgeable fellows, although he's a salt-of-the-earth rancher farmer up there, along with his
right.
sons and family. They're all just wonderful people, and I have seen them have the dogs unleashed on them. You can see that on YouTube on many different things.
I
the egregious, abusive, militant nature of these terrorists masquerading as public servants from the domestic terrorist group, which is now the Bureau of Land Management in this case. In fact, I emailed the governor yesterday, last night, seeking to try to get him to invoke his powers as the chief law enforcement officer of the state. He is a former United States District Court judge, as Brian Sandoval, that is, and he should well know, and I pointed out, in fact, if you will give me your email again slowly, or if it's on your site from the American States.
I'll give it to you right now. It's smarttalkblogtalk@yahoo.com, smarttalkblogtalk@yahoo.com. Please, please email me, and I will share your information with others.
Oh, absolutely. I've got a great article from the Activist Post that gives a lot of detail on what's going on, along with some pictures, and I'll include my letter that I sent to the governor yesterday, so you can see
right.
what some of my law of knowledge is. But it's absolutely one of the most horrific abuses of power and authority. Most every agency of this administration, where we thought they used to be there to protect us, they've now become our abusers, our predators. They're plotting against us and using each agency as effectually a weapon of mass destruction to destroy the American ideals of freedom and liberty.
Right. Absolutely right.
Yeah. And they're coming at us from every angle. It's just amazing on every level. It isn't anything that they won't touch. You know,
almost every aspect of any agenda item that they pose has multiple aspects to it. They never put one thing out there with one purpose. They all have multi-layers of tactical design within them.
You know, one aspect of this 750 plan, because it's funded by HUD in part. The Secretary of HUD, Sean Donovan, announced back in the last summer that, I mean, it was a direct quote. I mean, the masks are off here. The masks are off. They don't even care anymore. He said, during the months ahead, in the most ambitious social reengineering projects ever undertaken by the federal government, demographic mapping of every neighborhood and every community in the United States will begin, end quote. And we have their Social Equity Analysis Index report that shows specific neighborhoods and land tracts, one of them being PGA Golf Course and Country Club, one of them being Hutchison Island, three state parks. These are areas where you don't have enough density population, and they're going to decide that, you know, golf courses are not sustainable. You need density population, and they're going to decide the ethnic parsoning of who lives where, and they're saying that all gated communities are particularly deficient in social justice planning, and they will decide access to valuable community assets.
I wonder how many commissioners like to play golf, and how many commissioners live in gated communities.
Rush Limbaugh needs to know about this, you know, because after all, Rush plays golf.
You ladies really need to talk to Deborah Tavares, because we were talking earlier about these plans, these management plans, and these are all social engineering, stack them and pack them, get everyone off of these areas that are declared to be rural, blighted areas, and they can't have any sort of lifestyle on them whatsoever, so they've got to get her. In fact, on the Bundy's Ranch, yesterday when they ran that truck into the four-wheeler and they had the altercation where it was, I think it was Ryan Bundy, or maybe it was Wayne, that was tased twice.
Yes.
And said the dog sticked on him. What
right.
they discovered is they thought they were going to find rendered cattle that had been murdered, you know, the cattle to shoot them or whatever else, or perhaps newborn calves that had been taken away from their mothers and traumatized and perhaps died of starvation. And when they looked there, what they discovered was the BLM was actually destroying their water piping systems, their water storage stock tanks, and their wells to eliminate the water supply ability so that they couldn't maintain the lifestyle there. And those cattle are some of the purest non-GMO injected cows that exist on the planet. And they absolutely don't want that to, they want this all to have to be able to be injected by eating our food with these injected cattle stuck full of GMOs and all kinds of statins and mercury-laden injections that have deleterious effects on our bodies and our ability to reproduce.
Yes, and they go after your water on these on land. We just had a huge case. It went to the Supreme Court. You probably remember Coons versus St. John's Water Management District.
Yes,
and they just put that family through heck on earth. But Pacific Legal Foundation came in and took it to the Florida Supreme Court, and they went on and they won. They won. And I went to a debate the other day with Jim Burling, who was debating against 750, and it was down in Palm Beach. It was great. Everybody that is anybody was down there, you know, all these people with the big monies and so forth. And I stood up and I read directly from the contract what these commissioners are in for if they don't withdraw from it. And this clown, you know, they use the climate change. They're saying in Florida, you know, the sea levels are going to rise. We'll need a snorkel to get out of bed, you know. And so the property has to move away from the coastline. And of course, we can't go out into the green area to the west because, you know, that's protected land. Do you know that only 13.7% of Florida is occupied by people, and the rest is land, rural land. All right, 30% or 28% of it is owned by the feds, but I'm saying they use that pathetic excuse of overpopulation and sea level rise to frighten us into thinking that this is something that we have to do, and it's so deceptive. But he actually said, the shill for 750 actually said, we're going to slow down sea level rise. And I thought, wait, I really need to know how you're going to do that.
Me too. I want to know. I'm going to click my heels. I believe.
That is really a good one. Listen, before I forget, because I'm getting old and I don't want to forget, on April 17th, anyone listening out there that's going to be in the Jupiter area, on April 17th at 6 p.m., they're having a huge forum at the North Bay Homeowners Association. So anyone who wants to go, it's at 200 Military Trail in Jupiter, 200 Military Trail, April 17th at 6 p.m., this is where we go, and we've got to have it out, you know. So come and let your voice be heard. It's an open forum sponsored by the Homeowners Association there. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I got that before I forgot.
Oh, and if anybody
you,
was
Phyllis.
Listening and didn't get it, email me at smarttalkblogtalk@yahoo. Phyllis will give me that information, and I will get it out to you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Phyllis.
Chris, I'm just so glad to hear from you tonight. I'm just appalled by what you're saying, but we need to know it. We need to have the truth out there laid out on the table so we know exactly what we're talking about and how we can go about combating these things. They're just becoming tyrants everywhere you turn, on every level. And we got tyranny out of three counties. But now they're throwing this all aboard Florida thing at us, and it's really coming at us fast. But we are making inroads with the politicians because it's an election year, and we're saying, are you going to destroy all the Treasure Coast communities all up and down the coastline. You're going to destroy them for a train operation that's going to fail. So we're trying to get them to stop it or say that they'll move it out west. You want to be a politician, you want to make everybody happy, send it out west and keep it out of our lifestyles and out of our hair and from destroying us here.
Well, you
and
might
Chris?
Have noticed, yes,
oh,
ma'am.
Go ahead, sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to say a few months, a month or so ago on the History Channel, there was a movie on about, or at least a production about the theft of Palestine. And it
wow.
basically was a very educational movie about how incrementalism, or
uh-huh.
boiling frogs, if
uh-huh.
you will,
uh-huh.
how by
uh-huh.
little pieces and chunks, the withdrawal uh-huh. of lands for whatever yeah. pretense they can contrive is used to basically take over the lands. And this is what's happening in America. You might have noticed we have what they call these no man's land zones across the desert southwest in the United States, and they're migrating them across the whole southern portion of America. They had Katrina, and, of course, the Corps of Engineers went up there, and they basically just bulldozed people's homes and effects without
yeah.
giving them an opportunity to save their private property that was there under the guise of protecting and conserving it and keeping
right.
them from building there. Well, that's withdrawal of lands from public use. And these were private properties that were abrogated and taken over. I could almost tell you the guy's name. I should be able to tell you. He was an assistant director for the Department of Homeland Security, Craig Fugate.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost glowed with glee over talking about bulldozing people's homes using the Corps of Engineers heavy equipment. And so what you find is they no longer build on those coastal areas. They've been removed. And so what you're seeing is this accretion or retreat of land from the coastal areas. Now, what
mm-hmm.
they're planning on doing other than driving down the value so somebody else can invest and buy it up for pennies on the dollar and effectually
mm-hmm.
steal the land is
mm-hmm.
not revealed yet. But we can
mm-hmm.
only suspect that there'll be great hotels built, perhaps casinos and other revenue-generating interests, instead of mere private homes in those areas with poor people living in them. And that's so it's a good way to steal them from the poor and give to the rich.
Yes.
You mean Vanderson is going to end
yes.
up moving there instead of here in Florida? This is a guy that builds property all over Florida and that moved from New York, came down to Florida, and buying up property, he develops it. And so I figure now he'll move up there.
What was his name?
Vanderson.
Gunderson.
Vanderson, G-E-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, the Vanderson people.
Haven't heard their name, but there are a lot of crime families around America that use building as a way to infiltrate the area to take it over, and then pretty soon they're running for political positions, boards of commissioners
yeah.
or governors
yeah.
and so on and so forth.
Yeah. And
means of taking over.
That's right. And then I was thinking about Sandy, Hurricane Sandy. And
yes.
how many places they just level them and just forget about private property. So as
the
you
whole
said,
of Long
Chris,
Island.
As you said, in increments, they keep doing it so that we hardly will notice, bless you, but that's exactly how they do it in increments, as you were talking about Palestinian program about the Palestinian lands, and that's right. It's in small increments. This is how they do it, and I've not going to be surprised if I don't see a high-density population, new urban, sustainable community in my front yard, which is all park space right now, all green, dog park, Precambrian forest, and they just can't stand for that. They just can't stand it. They can't have it. And I guarantee you that the wealth in our town, in Vero Beach, the newspaper came out about a month or more ago and said they have the highest income disparity of any town in the United States. Now, whether that statistic is true or not, I'm pretty sure we're up there. I'm not one of the people, you know, in the upper echelon. I'm sort of the poor people of Vero Beach, but when you make a statement like that, that gets Washington's attention. And they've already sent people down here to talk to our commission and saying, you need to walk through our poor communities with us. We have a national emergency here. And then they start using the buzzwords, social equity, social justice. We're a
sustainable plan development.
Yes. So here we go. You know, it's here. And we just have to keep that awareness going in people so that they watch. And our community is pretty astute. I mean, we do have the golfers and the sailing people. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I love to play golf and sail. I just don't have time to do it. But they come down and they're, you know, it's just like playland here. But there are people, a strong group of people who watch, who go to the meetings or watch it on TV, and they are engaged, and they monitor everything. And we're very fortunate. We have a strong conservative community here. And it took us 6 months in St. Lucie because the demographics are different. It was like stepping off into a different country down there. But we did it, and by making sure that those politicians understood full well that the constituents were not going to let this happen, then they complied for political expediency, if nothing else, and that's fine. But we have that community awakened now, and they're watching, Martin County. Now, Palm Beach is so corrupt. There, Jess Santa Maria is one of the commissioners who's very ethical. I mean, he's extremely ethical. I know people have known him all his life, and he's never taken one campaign contribution. He's very forthright and upstanding, but the others are, boy, they're hard work. So we're working on it. And,
well, I can tell you that you'll never get any benefit for the government for free that doesn't have strings attached to it. He who enjoys the benefit owes the obligation.
That's exactly right.
That law.
That's exactly right.
So you have to be aware. You may not be able to afford free.
Ferris and Chris, we only have four more minutes.
Oh, no.
I thank you so very, very much for being
here. Don't go. I just want to say we only have four more minutes. But, Chris, I'm imploring you to please email me at smarttalkblogtalk@yahoo.com so that we can continue this conversation. Phyllis, I want you to go ahead and round it up, girl. We've got 3 minutes left.
Okay. I just want everybody out there to know that we are working on this, that you can turn things around. Not always, but do not feel defeated. Join in. Get active. And you'll be surprised at the people you meet. I have met some of the most fantastic people along the way in this journey who are so dedicated toward maintaining liberty and freedom and protecting our rights, and that happens when we go there. It happens when we talk. And since I retired and became an activist, you can't shut me up. And that's a good thing, because if you keep talking and you keep going and you keep believing that we can save this country and save our principles, well, you know what? I'm getting some tangible results, and I thank God for it, that we can return the country to its principles upon which it was founded. So we're just trying to maintain that. And so join us. Join us. Step forward in your community. It's the community.
Now, how are people that are listening to you right now, Phyllis, that you've motivated some folks, how would they get in touch with you? Say they don't really care about, you know, what we're talking about, meaning Neil and Sally and I, but they really want to connect with you. How would they get in touch with you, Phyllis?
I'll give you our website, and I'll give you my phone number.
Perfect.
And my phone number is 772-234-3995. And the website is AC and the number 4PR, American Coalition for Property Rights, AC, the number 4PR.org. So I hope to hear from you.
Absolutely. And this is the way things get done. You know, we're all in this together. Sometimes maybe if a certain personality rubs you wrong, you don't want to work with that guy, but you'd rather work with this one, or it's just where your passion lies. And so this might not really spark them. They might be more interested in common law grand jury. They might be more interested in common core or smart meter. Whatever it is, find your passion, connect with someone, and just start spreading the word.
Beautiful. Beautifully said. That's how it happens. And there's no shortage of causes out there. There's a lot not to like. So pick one. So that we all arrive at the same place, and that is in the land of the free.
We all want that, each and every one of us. And we want it not just for ourselves, but we want it for our children and our grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Because every step we take, we get farther and farther away from the principles of the founding of this country. And these poor children now, I look at them and I just want to cry. Because they have no clue. They have no clue of what is just out of their grasp. They have no idea how fragile this is. And that we, people like you and I, are struggling so hard to get the word out. And not alienate, but bring together.
Yeah.
We need to bring together. Thank you, Phyllis. Thank you,
Sherry.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Thank you, Chris, Neil, everybody. Good night. God bless you all.
So very much for everything you're doing. Thank you, Neil, and God bless you all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.